The Israelites were worried, panicked actually. They had escaped Egyptian slavery only to find themselves chased to the Red Sea by Pharaoh's chariots. But God delivered the Israelites across the sea and then brought the waters back upon the Egyptians. Miriam, sister of Moses, was considered a prophet by all the people. And as depicted on the bulletin, she led the people of God in rejoicing for their salvation. Hear God's word for us from Exodus chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. When the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his chariot drivers went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." This is the word of the Lord.
Mary. Mary is a popular name, especially for Roman Catholics, for whom veneration of Mary, the mother of Jesus, is an important element of their faith tradition. There are many Marys. But in the time of Jesus, and in the centuries prior to Jesus, Mary was also a very popular name. Obviously, not in honor of Mary of Nazareth, Jesus' mother, but in honor of another Mary, Miriam, the sister of Moses, who was considered a prophet of Israel in her time. You see, Mary, in Hebrew, Miriam, the prophet, is also one of our Marys today, because they are all Mariam. Mariam, the prophet, rescuer of baby Moses and dancer celebrating God's salvation. Mariam of Bethany, sister of Martha and Lazarus, disciple learning at Jesus' feet. Mariam of Magdala, or Mary Magdalene, as we call her, first to discover the resurrection of Jesus. And Mary of Nazareth, who accepted incarnation, witnessed crucifixion, and saw God's power revealed in her son, Jesus. And they all stood on holy ground, spiritually, as we do today. As I have considered these four women of the Bible, not the only Marys of the Bible, but the ones we know the most about, their experience of the holy, of holy groundedness brought to my mind and heart four women of our times who had their feet on holy ground as well. Women who touched my life and enriched my ministry in chaplaincy and clinical pastoral work. So I want to share some thoughts about them. When the people of Israel had followed Moses out of Egyptian slavery, they found themselves crossing the dry bottom of the Red Sea. A miracle event for them, to be sure, but the Egyptian chariots were in hot pursuit. But when Moses lowered his staff at God's command, the waters crashed upon the Egyptian chariots, and Israel was safe. Miriam and the women of Israel danced for joy at the salvation event. But for Miriam, she danced also with the memories of how God's hand had guided her, even as a young girl, to save baby Moses, even bringing him into Pharaoh's household. Within Miriam was a holy ground that was based on faithfulness, trust, hope, and love, even when all seemed lost. She danced, a contagious dance, spontaneous, a beautiful dance, on holy ground of a relationship that would not fail her or diminish her. At our recent annual conference of my accrediting organization for clinical pastoral care, there was a very special woman who played harmonica, who danced, who radiated the joy of a love from her husband and others. So much that it touched our hearts, and we danced with her. Tom and I danced with her. This might not sound remarkable, except that she was in a stage of Alzheimer's disease at which much of her usual world was shut off from her awareness, her joy. But when she had music with her harmonica in our group, and when she danced with her husband to a band, the joy and life and connection with love on her face, it lifted us and placed us on holy ground that only she could share. Holy ground. There's another woman who has been a major part of my life and had a major impact on my life and my perspective about pastoral care, who know what it means to walk on holy ground, but also who knows what holy ground is all about, even though she cannot see the actual ground, for she is blind. Reverend Laura Bratton was our featured Pastoral Care Week speaker at JFK Medical Center and author of a book entitled Harnessing Courage, Overcoming Adversity with Grit and Gratitude. With her guide dog and her smartphone and computer, she does it all. And she does it so well. She also brings a deep sensitivity to caregiving because she has learned to listen deeply to the heartfelt pains, joys, yearnings, and doubts, and spiritual needs of others. To me, Reverend Laura was very much like a Mary of Bethany who could have spent her time in the expected busy domestic activities that take up all her time and energy, but instead, at the risk of Martha's criticism and perhaps the disciples' scorn, that she also once wasted precious, expensive oil anointing Jesus' feet, Mary listened with her ears and with her faith and with her whole being. She realized that the holiest ground was at the feet of God's wisdom in the voice of Jesus. Sometimes listening is holy ground. When Reverend Laura was a Princeton seminarian and a chaplain intern in my clinical pastoral education program at JFK, her first patient visit took her to the room of a woman who needed someone to listen to her with her ears, with her face, and with her whole being. When Chaplain Laura, with her guide dog, entered the room, she introduced herself to the patient and her family. Shortly after the introduction, she heard a soft cry from one of the family members, who started to share that her mother, who was the patient, was recently diagnosed with the loss of her sight. Chaplain Laura was there to deeply listen to their feelings, to their fears, to their concerns. The patient and the family, not knowing that this chaplain here with them in the room had lost her sight after having once been able to see. Holy ground. Then there is Mary of Magdala. Magdala is a small village on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee, and this Mary was from that village. Magdalene has become virtually her last name, so I will stick with that name for her. We know from Scripture that Mary Magdalene was cured by Jesus of 7 demons, although we do not know what that means. That is probably a long debate. Yet, we do know that her gratitude and commitment to Jesus as one of his many disciples, other than the 12, was without limit. Since she is always named first among Jesus' women's disciples, she obviously had an important place among them. And she was the first person to come to the tomb and discover it was empty, then telling the disciples in hiding that he had risen and had appeared to her. They dismissed her witness as idle talk and then continued to hide. Mary Magdalene was both faithful and courageous. She also knew what it felt like to be an intruder, an outsider. In her culture, to have any kind of illness or demon or bad reputation or being seen as unclean would put you on the outside of society. People would shun you, gossip about you, treat you like you were less than. But in the garden near the empty tomb, when Mary thought that the gardener might have taken Jesus' body, until Jesus spoke her name, Mary, Jesus did as he has always done, for her and for all others. He acknowledged their unique personhood, their worth in God's love, their place in God's presence, holy ground. I also experienced holy ground in a place and through a person I did not anticipate. In 2010, Tom and I accompanied a group of Jewish and Christian clergy and pastoral caregivers to Israel. It was part of a conference and a movement to establish clinical pastoral training in hospitals, in some of the Israeli hospitals. One of the largest hospitals in Israel is Shaar Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem. And Shaar Tzedek means gates of righteousness. I expected to see Jewish patients and doctors, but also came to realize that a sizable portion of the population of Israel is Arab. As we were touring Shaar Tzedek, meeting staff and talking of all things related to pastoral care, while walking down the hallway, my eyes connected with an Arab woman in a wheelchair with a slight and a kind expression. Our eyes simply locked, and it felt as if a wellspring of humanity passed between the two of us. While a hospital is dedicated to caring for the human physical needs, my experience over the years has been that people deeply need to be acknowledged for their worth, their personhood, their place among others. Somehow, in that encounter, there was more intense understanding and humanity shared than I can express. A hallway in a bustling hospital between a South African woman from America and an Arab woman in Israel. A connection of shared humanity. Holy ground. My last reflection of holy ground was also in Israel, at a place that many, if not most, Jewish people would consider to be very holy ground. At the foot of the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, the place sometimes referred as the Wailing Wall. At the wall, because of Orthodox understanding and restrictions, women must stand in an area separated from all men, even by sight. There, against the enormous stones of the foundation of what was once Solomon's and the Herod's temple, there are many crevices between the stones, spaces in which people can write prayers and then fold them up and tuck them into the crevices. In a holy place, people make request of the holy, and I did too. But the holy that I experienced was the knowledge that these stones that had seen several millennia come and go, had also seen my mother, my own mother, Babs Chrysel, come and go from this place with my father. She had come here some 44 years ago, writing in her journal of the experience in vivid, vivid detail, all, of course, in Afrikaans. So, with her journal as my spiritual guide, I came to the place that was holy for me because she and I had stood together at the foot of God's promise to Israel, the temple in Jerusalem. Our last Mary, Jesus' mother, who as a teenage young woman engaged to be married, had said yes to an angelic annunciation. God had made a promise of salvation of which she was to be central part, and she said yes. And then she responded with a Magnificat of praise to God. Now, 33 years later, she kneels at the foot of the cross of pain, rejection, hope lost, faith crushed. But as Jesus tenderly entrusts her to the household of his disciple John, she, no doubt, caught his gaze of compassion and promise. Against all the odds, amidst all the suffering, his compassion was for her, with her, acknowledging her. So that even before the miracle of Easter's empty tomb, Jesus had turned this scene and symbol of death, futility, and loss into holy ground. Perhaps that is why it is the symbol of our faith, not a cross of death, but an empty cross of compassionate life. Even sitting at the feet of loss and pain, whether an Arab woman in a Jewish hospital, pilgrims at the foundation stone of a temple long destroyed, my mother touching the stones and inserting the prayers that I now could do as well, there is holy ground. We carry it with us in our hearts of compassion and understanding, in our acts of human acknowledgement, in our faith that touches lives in everyday activities. These four Marys stand on holy ground in their own time and in their own way. They also dance for joy, as do the women of our faith community. Eyes to see it, feel it beneath our feet, share it with our companions along the way. Holy ground. We are all standing on holy ground. Amen.